Hey, this is Natasha, and we are back with another edition of Amplified. Today, we're going to do a special one. We thought it would be a treat to actually have our CEO, Don Leeks, on as an Amplified interviewee. So welcome, Don.
Hi, thank you for having me.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. You know, it's probably like week 7 of the quarantine or the stay-at-home order, and but I'm in an upswing. I feel like, you know, sometimes you feel frustrated and sometimes you feel okay with it, and today's a good day.
Oh, yeah. It's funny because I had those days where I'm like, oh, I'm fine. This is okay. And then, like, 10 minutes ago, I was using the bathroom and I came out, and I was kind of like, oh, because I'm just going to be in here for days. It can just go into your mind on a random thing. Because usually, like,
yeah.
Like, the day that I go out and I get, like, snacks and stuff for the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I come back, and then I was like, yeah, because you're not doing that. So it just seems a little weird, you know?
Yeah. Reality has changed a bit.
For sure. So before we get into chatting a little bit more about you, I'm just going to remind you guys of the awesomeness of Dawn. So Dawn is CEO of Lioness. She's been empowering women and entrepreneurs for as long as she can remember. She's a certified life coach, speaker, trainer, and professor. She's passionate about helping women reach their God-given potential and live with passion, purpose, and confidence. She's also an avid R&B line dancer, and we will ask her a little bit about that later. But welcome!
Thank you. I sound good. Who's that?
I know, and I'm like, she's certified in what? Like, how many things? Yeah. But this is good because I feel like we don't always get to, we haven't really sat down, I felt like, and really spoke to the readers about you. Like when you came on, I felt
right.
like a brief press release kind of went out and we just kind of hit the ground running. But I don't feel like we ever really had a really good introduction. So when this idea kind of came up, it was like, you know what? That would be great for Dawn to actually come on Amplified and just talk a little bit. So you have a long history in communications, okay? When I met you and I was trying to do the math, I feel like it was more than 15 years ago. So, of course, I was about 15 years old.
I know. I'm like, I'm only 25, so I don't know what you're talking about.
It was on the playground. At that time, I think you were working at the Springfield Urban League. I was a news reporter. Later on, Dawn was like the person I woke up to in the morning. For some reason, it seemed like there's a period of time you were just like always on WWLP. And that was like the thing that I would turn on in the morning, like in the background. And she was always out there like preparing somebody either for a disaster or talking about safety and regulations, or if there was a recent house fire or something serious had happened. You were just on there regularly. So I just remember always waking up to you. And so through that, and Dawn eventually became like the regional director of communications for the American Red Cross of Central and Western Massachusetts, you just always had this communication piece to you that was what I knew you as.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into communications in the first place?
That's a funny, that is an interesting, it's a good question is what I'm supposed to say. It is a funny and long answer. I think, I started my career in advertising sales for an online news company, and I've just tried a lot of different things. When people ask me about my career, I'm like, you know what? It was a liberal arts career. I did a little bit. I did a little bit of everything. But with the exception of that first job in selling advertising, every position I had after that had a component of communications. I was always interested in like marketing and marketing communications. And I thought, you know, I really saw the opportunity, you know, with the local Red Cross chapter. And that's really what kind of put me deeply into communications, because prior to that, whether I was working for a school system or the Urban League where you met me, or even just doing little freelance things, I was always doing press releases. I was always reaching out to the media. And
right.
so, but the job at the Red Cross was what really kind of solidified me in the community as, you know, this communications person.
Yeah. And And so it was interesting because I always kind of tap into you for different things since I met you. And you were a part of the initial group of people that I contacted when Lioness was first an idea. And so early on, you kind of basically have been involved with Lioness since it was started in some capacity. And I never asked you this. I don't think I have. We've talked about tons of things, so if I have, I've totally forgotten. But what was your early impression of Lioness and what we were attempting to do when I initially kind of reached out to you about it? Because you initially came on as a writer, and you kind of had like this leadership column where you were talking about that and coaching. But I don't think we ever kind of talked about that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This answer is probably so inappropriate. But honestly, at that time, I think I was just looking at it as an opportunity to get my coaching stuff out there because I had started my coaching business. And, you know, I thought, oh, this is a good idea to establish myself as a coach and as someone who can help you develop and grow. And I thought, oh, this is going to be good. When you sent me the, I think it was an email to initially ask about it, I thought, oh, this is going to go somewhere. It's going to be something. I want to be a part of it. But I didn't really, you know, I didn't really start thinking about, like, what it could be or what it could mean to people until you put out the first issue. And I remember the cover very clearly. And my sister read it. And she was like, Dawn, every page of this magazine is for me. She's like, every single page, she's like, every story, every article, she was like, this is made specifically for me. And she's someone who has always wanted to start, you know, first a side hustle, but then just like a really large scalable company. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, and so that was the first time I thought, wait a minute,
right.
this could resonate with people, you know, because as crazy as this is going to sound, I hadn't been a huge magazine reader, you know, I would read them. But I, you know, let me rephrase, not that I wasn't a reader because I did read magazines, but I never connected with one in the way that my sister connected with Lioness that first issue. And so I thought, oh, the magazine can have that impact on I had no idea. And so that really made an impression on me.
And it's funny because, like I said, I think of you in the communications capacity, but I have always just thought of you in leadership and even preparing for this interview. And I know you, I still was like, you know, let me go and research and gather, girl. I dug all in your past. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
I was like, you know, I want to prepare for you like how I would anybody else, you know? And it's funny because it's like, you know, that movie Taken with Liam Neeson. And he's like, I have a particular set of skills I have acquired over a very long career. You know, because you were just talking about all the different places you work. And I felt like that was kind of you, you know, because you've been in communications, you've done public affairs, media training, coaching. You run leadership development trainings and courses. I mean, you wear many hats, but when you kind of write those things out and look at them all together, that every aspect always had something to do with leadership. And so
that's true.
It was really cool to kind of look at it that way when I was kind of going through your stuff. And of course I gave myself a pat on the back. I was like, you know, good job. Because I was like, I worked with this woman, you know? But so it was really cool to kind of look at all together like that in a package. And, you know, like you were saying before, you were already running a successful coaching practice, and you had clients, and you had an awesome office downtown. And why did you accept the CEO position when I offered it? Because now, if you know, for the listener who's following the journey, Dawn did kind of come in writing. Then she kind of came over and started doing some customer development and started working with a couple of the early advertisers that we had. And I was in a position where I felt like, I know my skill set. I know I can rock the news side. I'm really interested in pushing myself and seeing what I can do there. I don't necessarily have the skill set to go scale and build up a company, and I really thought that she did. And so with everything that you already had going on, I would love you just to talk a little bit about why did you decide to kind of make the leap and not only come here and become a co-founder and build it up, but become, you know, my business partner and kind of really take over the company and lead it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I always wanted to run my own business. I'm not going to say for as long as I can remember, because there was a period of time where I was pretty certain I was going to be a journalist. And I was like on the editor on the yearbook and all that kind of stuff, trying to gear up for something like that.
Yeah,
but
with your background.
There was a period of time where I knew I wanted to create something and have something of my own and build build a business and actually hopefully build some wealth. And I thought that I was going to do that with my coaching business. And so that's what I was really focused on. But so it's really interesting. I guess I'm kind of well-balanced in terms of what right brain, left brain. But
yeah.
I, as much as I like to crunch a number and the business and everything, I also spend a good amount of time doing a lot of personal growth work and visioning and just sitting with myself and trying to figure out what the next move is. And, it was just my spirituality is a part of that as well. And I had been doing some meditating for a couple of months prior to you asking me to come run your company. And mm-hmm. So it was interesting because I was trying to really understand what the big and full vision was for my business. And so I was really sitting with that, trying to figure out what are the next steps, what's the big picture, what's the big vision. And so in that vision, I was helping women. I was speaking to large groups of women, but I wasn't coaching. I wasn't doing a coaching business. And so I had been a little confused by that. But it was something that I thought, I'll just wait until whatever it is reveals itself to me. And so that had been, I'm not going to say a couple months. It was much longer than, maybe it was like a year prior to you asking me to come on to the business. But when you did, I just instinctively knew that this was what I had been waiting for. And so I said yes. And so I said yes very quickly, which confused you because you were like, what? You're like, I don't think you understand what I'm asking you. I'm like, no, I do. And so I said yes, on a small level, because I just knew it was the next step for me in my life. I knew it was what I was supposed to be doing. And then on another, just on the strength of the business itself, I'd always known, because I had written for you, and then I kind of followed you. I think something happened. I had to step away from writing. I'm not sure what that was at this time. But so I had kind of stopped writing, but I had always followed what you were doing. And I kept saying, oh, my gosh, I need to be a part of that some kind of way. I don't know if I ever told you that, but I would be, especially like you had done like a five-year, or not a five-year, some sort of anniversary photo shoot with people. Oh, excuse me, 1 year. Thank you. It's only been like 5 years now. 1 year. 1 year anniversary, and I was just like, I felt a little crushed because I'm like, dang, I wasn't a part of that, even though I was that part at the beginning. And I was like, I need to get back involved with Lioness because because I just knew the potential of the business, and I'm like, I want to be a part of that. And so when you asked me to come on and do the customer development work, I thought, okay, this is great. And at that time, I was doing my coaching and consulting full time. But it just seemed like a natural fit for my personal and professional goals, for what I had been preparing myself for, and for the type of work I'm most passionate about, which is helping women do exactly what we're helping women do. It just seemed like a no-brainer.
It was such a unique fit because you had the leadership skills, obviously, and you had already been working with female entrepreneurs, and then you had this unique communications/media background already, which not everybody always has. I mean, I felt like you had a unique position there because So you were on one aspect where you were pitching to media for a point in your career. Mm-hmm. So you had that element, right, in terms of working with media. Then you went and you were an account executive for a while for an online news company, which is a different perspective. That's like the money side perspective, right? You're selling ads and stuff like that. And then now, okay, you're the head of a media company. That, again, is serving female entrepreneurs. How does your background, if it does at all, I'm sure it does, inform the work that you're doing now in your new role as the head of a media company versus the other aspects, you know, that you had been working in previously?
I think my background prepares me in a lot of different ways. I mean, just with my education, you know, it's funny because I do have an MBA, and everybody or many people will say you don't need an MBA to run a startup, and you don't. You absolutely do not. However, there are a lot of things I learned in those courses that really, in terms of accounting, in terms of the management side of a business, that are very helpful to me right now. And I'm even cracking open some of my textbooks sometimes to get information, especially when doing financial things, for forecasting and things of that nature. So I feel like the educational piece really helps me with that. The leadership stuff and all, like, all the different coaching certifications and everything, they have been helpful in terms of building a team, in terms of thinking about company culture and how we wanted to run. You and I think, have been fortunate because we are on the same page about a lot of different things in terms of how we want to feel at work, in terms of the kind of environment we want to be in. But we're also very different in terms of how we communicate. Right. And I mean, that's a big one. The communication, I think, is probably the biggest way that we differ. And so being able to bring in coaching tools and techniques to help us understand each other better and to really help us understand that, and maybe just help me understand, I'm not sure if it's helping you, but to help understand that, you know, this person, they're not a broken version of you. They're not doing something wrong. They have a completely different approach to this than you do. And so I don't think, had I had, you know, the different trainings and different certifications as far as leadership, as far as coaching, and as far as personal development and growth, I don't think I would have that piece. And I think I would be, like, really trying to change you to fit what I believe my right idea of what this working relationship should be. And so I think that's been a big strength. And even, you know, as you have started to work on developing yourself more in this way, because I think you are kind of like rolling your eyes at some of the coaching.
Oh, yes.
Stuff.
I was in the beginning. I was like, oh, she's going to try to come up here and coach me. Okay.
But it's been interesting to watch you apply those things and then, you know, even go off and get more development and then to utilize that with the writing staff. And so I think in terms of your interpersonal skills and things like that, I think it's been very helpful.
And I also really think, because you and I, we had did this whole thing before we officially, you know, kind of signed our names on the dotted lines about, let's look into why a lot of, you know, co-founders and partnerships fail, you know. And I do think a lot of your training and your coaching and knowledge in that area did ease the transition with you coming in to take over the company. I really think that that made a huge deal, you know, in the way that we kind of related to one another, because though we had known each other, we hadn't worked together. We all know we are, we have our home selves and then we have our work selves, and the way that we operate at work is not necessarily the way that we operate at home. And so we had been friendly, but we weren't friends. And so it was interesting because we were getting to know each other. We had just been accepted into an accelerator, so we were kind of like in this crash course. And it was really nice, actually, even though I was kind of rolling my eyes at the coaching, but it was really nice once I understood and you really showed me the benefits of all that kind of stuff. It was nice to have you to be partnered with someone that could say, okay, we obviously are having some miscommunications here. here's some language that we can use to stay on the same page. Here, like, those things were really important, you know, and I felt right. like made it a big deal. It was funny because one time I was doing this public speaking, Elms College, I think it was, and I was talking about how you kind of came on as CEO, and people were like, damn, like, how was that? Was that uncomfortable? And I'm like, oh, there are some moments where you're like, excuse me, which is kind of like, because this is what you've been doing. We're not doing that anymore. I mean, and it wasn't, you never said that in a bad way, but it was kind of like, you know, this doesn't make sense, and we're changing this to this type thing. But it was like, no, those transitions and, you know, kind of giving you the baton and letting you run it and build up your own way of running the company and what things that we needed to kind of implement and that kind of stuff. I really feel like the coaching was definitely a plus.
Oh, good. You know, I want to think so. Yes. You know what I mean? And I think also, you know, beyond the coaching, I can recall several times me saying, hey, let's put a process in place for this. And you're like, oh, why? Why do we need a process? Like, because we want to scale. You know what I'm saying? You need a process in place.
Yeah.
That's like the foundation as you scale. So I think the coaching, I think just those, you know, some of the procedural things and just, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it all the experiences kind of came together in order to help me in this position. But again, the greatest teacher is just experience. You know, I think no matter how prepared you are, if you haven't done the specific thing, which I haven't, I've run a business, but I hadn't until this point built a business from the ground up. It's very different, you know, And so I think there's a lot of things that I'm learning now, which is why I still try to consume, you know, books, materials, interviews, podcasts of people who've done it that may have some insight.
We kind of talk about this all the time just because, you know, we're living it. But we know that the media landscape is changing all the time. And it's so different than it was even just a few years ago. And so now, you know, fast forward, you're leading an online news company that is directed at an underserved population. Mm-hmm. What are some of the pains facing female entrepreneurs? And as CEO, what do you have to kind of think about when trying to solve them, you know, in terms of services or products and stuff like that, that you've kind of implemented at Lioness?
You know, we're underfunded. We are, we have, you know, additional barriers to launching and scaling a business that are male counterparts. And so we also, which as I kind of have researched this more, it seems like men experience it, but they don't let it get in their way in terms of imposter syndrome or lack of confidence, things like that, access to funding, accessing some of these networks of, you know, these good old boy networks that are really kind of running things. But some of the things that Lioness, one, we want to make sure people are informed. Women, we tend to over-educate ourselves. I don't know if we're helping or hurting the problem here. We tend to over-educate ourselves. Really, there's studies that show if a woman knows the answer, she 100% knows that answer, she will still be hesitant to raise her hand in a space and give that answer, where a man, he may think he may not know it all, but he'll step right up and give the answer. And so we want to have all our I's dotted, all our T's crossed. But and so what we're doing at Lioness with providing really quality news and information is obviously meeting that need for us to be in the know, to make sure that we have the information that we need to move forward. But we also address the other side of things, which is, hey, sometimes you got to start researching and learning, and you got to take action. And so that's where some of the coaching programs, you know, I do send a little coaching and motivational emails out, you know, twice a week to kind of keep folks motivated and to address some of the internal things that could be holding us back. We have, you know, self-paced coaching programs and podcasts, interviews like this on the site where people can go get motivated and just really get out of their own way and just take action and act. And so everything that we implement and things that are going to be coming soon are designed to either help you take action on your business, to give you specific knowledge that will help you grow your business, or to give you specific knowledge that will help you grow yourself.
when Lioness was first a concept, I was thinking about, okay, what is the news that these women need to know about, you know, whether their events or happenings. We want to feature some of these women and kind of tell their story, right? How do I kind of build a newsroom and information and get people to be able to write these and tell these stories? But I hadn't really thought a lot about personal growth, you know? And I don't mean that to sound like a loser. I'm just keeping it real. People are like, damn. I mean, you never thought about improving yourself. I did professional development. Shut up. But I'm talking about, like, no. Okay, we know that women have access to capital and stuff like that, right? That we lack access to capital. I was never thinking about the inner workings of, okay, well, a lot of women know that they're out here. They're getting shot down at pitches. They are getting turned away by VCs, or VCs are pushing them towards alternate routes because they don't want to give them money. I never thought about that effect. I didn't really focus on the confidence part, how this woman's confidence is continuously being knocked down because of these interactions. And so that was also, it's just synergy. For me, it's like, I'm, as you know, a woman of faith, so I'm like, God just kind of worked that out, because there was this whole other element and need that female entrepreneurs had that needed to be met, and I wasn't serving it. And so when you kind of came in and you restructured the business and you brought this whole element, I would love for you to talk just a little bit about why personal and professional growth go hand in hand. Because I will say, once I started working with you and spending more time focusing on, you know, personal development and growth, I did see myself make strides professionally, right? Because I was getting the confidence I needed. And I was learning how, you know, okay, where are the areas that I'm short? Why are you short there? These are the things I can do to kind of strengthen them. And I did see myself move forward in other areas in business where maybe before I had been shrinking myself, you know, shying away. Because you also sometimes, I feel like women, I know for myself in particular, you're like, because these people are going to think, who the hell do you think you are? And now I'm like, I know who I am. This is who I am. But so that's why personal growth for me has been such a big plus. Could you talk a little bit about, how that personal development and professional growth kind of go hand in hand? And because you've been able to come here and kind of create a bridge.
Well, you know, I think the best example I can give to highlight what this could look like if you're not doing the personal growth. So take somebody who they're really good at a job, really good at a job, and then they keep getting promoted. Now they're your manager. We've all had the manager that's very good at a job, but they like suck at managing. They're horrible at how they talk to you, their interpersonal skills. Just in terms of trying to collaborate with them, it's a horrible thing. This person, they've been promoted because they have a skill. And so they probably have done tons of professional development in whatever subject area that is, and they're great at that. But they don't have the interpersonal skills to effectively manage. And I've had managers like this. And you generally, I would leave those jobs. And so a lot of times these are people that end up having high turnover in their department and things like that. I think that's a quick, easy, relatable way for people to kind of envision it. The personal growth, I mean, this is how you're able to take feedback. Things you're able to let kind of slide off. I think about, I used to work customer service at the telephone company, and you know, I would sit and listen to people. Initially, I was kind of the same way. You get really mad at the customer because they're mad at you. And you get defensive. And you're a horrible person. And this business, this particular company was known for bad customer service, you know.
Yeah.
And so, as I started to grow personally, I started to realize, hey, it's not personal. This person is really upset about, you know, not being able to get their service and really able to turn a very arguing, angry customer into someone who felt helped, because I started to realize, oh, my job is just to help. The things that they're saying to me are not personal. How can I not be so defensive about something that has nothing to do with me? You know, and I think those are things that can help anybody in any position. So I think in terms of some of the things that you talked about, just knowing yourself, building your own confidence. But then a big part for me of personal growth is how we're relating to other people. You know what I'm saying? Just realizing that these giving people the space to be exactly who they are, right. And not trying to force your will, your way onto other people. And I think as you start to develop in those areas, you start to, this whole world expands and it opens up to you where you start to realize, you know what, these people are different than me and they're bringing something great and something diverse and something different to the table. And it's enriching the, my work, and it's enriching my team, and it's enriching my whole company and the whole experience that we're having. This is the same argument for diversity at work, you know? So right. We talk about diversity of people, you know, gender, race, ethnicity, but also diversity of thought. Right. You know, diversity of just how you approach things, just diversity of how you are and in a way of being. And I think those are things that are often overlooked, but that really add some richness, help you to see blind spots, things you would have never even considered because you just don't think that way, and help you to be very prepared and help to position yourself for success.
Which is really true, because I feel like sometimes, you know, when you're in the early stages of being a solopreneur, and then now you're either adding on freelancers or you begin to start hiring, sometimes we're like, okay, I need people who have this skill set, but then when they come in, it's like, also do what I say. And they kind of stomp down, you know, to your point, what you're saying, that person's skill set, their thoughts. It's okay for employees to challenge you. You know, my thing used to always be, you know, we went through a couple art directors, you know, and I loved them, particularly Leo. He really kind of helped when Lioness really first started finding its, you know, sea legs, and really helped visually bring Lioness to life. And we also worked with Allison at Business Betty's. And my thing always was, okay, if I tell you this is what I'm kind of thinking of, and I like to let them go kind of do their thing. But now it's like time for edits, you know? And if I'm like, oh, I think we should change this like this or move this back over here, I love when they fight for it. Like, nah, let me tell you why you don't want to move that there. And it's really based on something. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. I didn't realize there was a rule about, you know, where you need to have the headline here, place when it's, you know, in relation to the photo and those kind of things. So I do love that because I feel like, one,
right.
You're not producing stuff that looks crazy where other professional people are like, okay, because they don't even know that you're not, you know. So it's like I totally agree with what you're saying, but I also feel like it's a really important conversation right now because we tend to deal with a lot of female entrepreneurs who are in between the ideation and scale phase, and a lot of them are
right.
just starting to bring on people. And so it's not always about, you know, I like this person and they can do this, but I want them to do it in my fashion. Sometimes it's like, this is the end result that I need. That's up to you how you get there, you know? And then
exactly.
kind of take their feedback. So I think that that's a really good point that you're making, which is, it's funny because
yeah.
one of the things that I do enjoy about working with you, one of the many things, let me say, I still gotta work on this a little bit after this call, okay? One of the many things that I enjoy, no, is that you let me do my thing, though. And we might talk about a couple, you know, whenever I produce the editorial calendar, we might talk about some of the things on the calendar. I might tell you, oh, you know what, I'm kind of struggling with this, thinking about this with one of the writers. You might give me your feedback, and then you might circle back later and say, hey, how did that ever end or that kind of thing. But in terms of testing news and kind of stories that we want to feature, I've always loved that you've let me do my thing. And I also, I bring that up to say, I think sometimes especially when you go to like some of these accelerators and it's new founders who are coming on and they're like, yes, I'm going to be CEO. And it's all, you know, spotlights and glamour. You spend a lot of time also doing things that are really, really unsexy. the things that actually keep the business going. You know, you're building up the infrastructure. You're, you know, not a lot of people know this. That whole website redesign was done by Don. You know, you're managing the day-to-day. Don's also helping and overseeing, like, all of the really big tech aspects of the company. You're dealing with vendors. You're making sure that people get paid. With everything that's kind of on your plate, because we know as startups, so many of us wear so many hats. How do you kind of determine what to focus on and what and prioritize things?
Yeah, it's funny. This is an area that I think was a bit of a struggle at the beginning. Now, because I was so, like, into trying to make sure the website, and obviously we have a digital company, so the website does need to be good and need to be functioning. But the most important thing that we need to be doing as a company is making money. And so right now my priorities is 80% making money activities, things that are going to lead to money, revenue coming into the company, and 20% everything else. And I'm really trying to hold that line because the other things, they matter. Obviously, your QuickBooks matters. Ugh, QuickBooks. Your accounting matters. The functionality of the website matters. All those things matter, but they really don't matter at all if you're not making any revenue. So you need to really be able to prioritize in a way that allows you to make the most money so that you can really effectively do the other things and hopefully start outsourcing those other things, you know?
Right. And I know just with you, you spent a good amount of time also, you know, working with vendors and managing, you know, those relationships. Because we know that not all startups are able to either start with a full team or able to hire people. What are some of the things that you think about when you are out outsourcing opportunities? Because there are some people who love outsourcing. There are some people who hate it. But I feel like you've done a really good job selecting the vendors that we work with.
Well, thank you. I think that I want to say prayer is the main thing. Because, I mean, we've had some bad experiences with vendors. In the beginning, I think it looks like I'm good at managing vendors now because of the bad experiences that we kind of had in the beginning. And knowing now the things that I didn't know before, because you don't know what you don't know. And so, especially when we start talking about technology, even Googling, trying to see what are the right questions I should be asking, there were still things that I was missing and key essential things that these people need to know or have, but I didn't really know that they needed to know it or they needed to have it. And and they weren't forthcoming in terms of what they could realistically do for us and how effective they could be for our specific business. And so I think one of the things that has been helpful, we do use Fiverr to get some of our contractors, and it's an easier process because you have so many people. There's a rating system. You can go read the reviews. You can reach out to some of those people if you wanted to and ask what it was like working with this person. And I think that has been very helpful in terms of getting people that can actually deal with a specific problem. So, yeah, I spend a lot of time researching different people and now having certain conversations, I know kind of what to ask. And I kind of know if I ask a certain question, if the person doesn't really know, they don't, you know, if they're giving me lip service. And so that's been helpful. But I mean, it's been really interesting because I think you and I, we saw the example of the women who made up a male founder to try to deal with vendors and how they started having such a better experience dealing with vendors through this fake male partner. Right. And it's, I mean, crazy. There was a time where I wanted to try to do that.
Right.
How people were talking to me is, if I'm asking a very technical question or you're talking to me like I'm trying to make a decision whether I want to go right or left, oh, don't worry, we already went right for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's a sad kind of state of affairs. I didn't create that fake mail. I probably would have had a much easier time with some of these vendors had I done it. But I just think it's a matter of getting really clear, wanting to work with the people that want to work with you and that just, you know, you can tell that there's a certain level of respect right out of the gate.
Right. And you know, to your point when you were talking about, you know, some of the vendors and just, you know, some of the technical aspects, because we run an online news company, obviously there's some differences with between that and print and that kind of thing. And news, we all know, is a very fast-paced industry. You add being online, you can times that by three, because people, when something's happening, they want to Google it, they want to find it right away. And you've been having some more robust conversations, you know, lately here at Lioness about what that means. And I would love to know, in terms of, you know, staying competitive and trying to keep Lioness, you know, kind of ahead of the curve, what are some of the things that you're thinking about for us for the future? And not giving away, you know, exactly what we're doing, but for people who are running, you know, online digital companies, what are some things that you think that they need to kind of be thinking about?
One of the things that we think about a lot at Lioness is, what do our readers actually want? You know, and I think a lot of times when you're running a business, especially with entrepreneurs, because we're creative, we're excited, and we believe 100% in all of our ideas. And so it can be hard to filter out the ones that are going to be, you know, most valuable to your audience, because you think, no, this is a great idea, everyone will want this, instead of talking to folks and say, hey, what do you want? And then going and creating what they want, specific to your audience. And so I think that's really the direction that we're going in, is really engaging our folks more to find out what is it that you would like to see, and making sure that we're delivering what they want, as opposed to just looking at what a competitor is doing and mirroring that, and then realizing that that wasn't, you know, when they fail in a month, you know, it didn't work in a
Right,
month, and like, oh
right.
shoot, we went that way and we should have gone a different way. So I think one of the things that we've always done is we do our own thing. And when we were talking about coaching and media, people were looking at us like we were crazy in those accelerators, because they were like, I just don't see how coaching goes with media. I just don't see how the two are even related. And now, if you look at other media companies, Entrepreneur, Forbes, they have Forbes has their coaching council. Entrepreneur, you can get coaching sessions. And so I think, yeah, we were ahead of that curve. And had we just listened to other people or just looked at what the competitors were doing, well, we would have never had a coaching element. And so I think, and so that, so to answer your question, we're looking on staying innovative and staying ahead of the curve. And so some of what we're doing with that is a mix of looking at other industries. I don't want to give away too many secrets. I'm just going to say, sometimes looking to other industries that are not necessarily related to your industry and seeing what they're doing, sometimes you get great ideas there. And really focusing on our folks and what it is specifically that they would want to see.
You know, the company, because what, we launched the website in 2014. You came on as CEO at the end of 2015, towards the end of 2015.
Yeah, it really was like the end. So Michael would say
Literally.
2015. Yeah.
And so we really hit the ground running in 2016, and I feel like a lot has happened at the company in a short amount of time. What, just for yourself as CEO, what are you focusing on and thinking about for yourself for the remainder of 2020? I can't believe we're in May already.
It's crazy. It's crazy. This year's flying by. I am focusing on scaling. I mean, that's just a big thing. I think we're in a great position now. We've got, you know, great foundation. We've got good traction with an amazing audience, and now it's just time to really see how big we can get.
Yeah, which I'm just super excited about. There's just been, like I said, when you go back, like for this interview, you know, I kind of went back and looked through a lot of things. I'm like, man, we did a lot in a short amount of time, and all up and down the East Coast, you know? I mean,
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
you know, all over the place in a really short amount of time. There's just been, just a lot of change and the core. I don't think the core of Lioness and who we are has changed, but you have definitely really just expanded the company and the brand and the offerings, and it's just been a lot, and you've done a great job. So I really am looking forward to what you kind of put together for the rest of 2020. I, like everybody else, we're all watching you.
That's so funny. You better be doing more than watching.
I mean, I'm going to do a little bit of work in there, but I'm with everybody else. I'm like, what's this lady going to do?
See what I put up with, folks? This is what I deal with every day.
We usually ask
Amplify.
Yeah, no, it has really been a pleasure, and I'm just looking forward to seeing wherever, you know, the road takes us. It's exciting and exhausting at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
On Amplified, we always ask two questions, minimum, before we let you go. It's our hot seat questions. You are from Springfield, Massachusetts. One, tell us your favorite place.
The honest truth is I like to go down to the casino, and I like to go have drinks at the casino, down at MGM. I do enjoy that.
Okay. It's like, you know what? Okay, second question. Tonight, I just want to go get an amazing meal in the city of Springfield. Where are you going?
Oh, I'm going to Erica's. I'm sorry. They just listen. Listen, folks. Erica's restaurant in Springfield, they have just launched like these honey garlic wings. I probably shouldn't be eating wings, but listen, those things are delicious. They've got I go there, and as a matter of fact, in the whole time we've been quarantined, that's the place. If I did get eat out, I've been doing a lot of cooking, but that's the place that I go.
Oh, awesome. So you heard that, folks. Go down if you visit the city of Springfield. Get yourself a cocktail down at the casino. You tell all that Lioness sent you. And
oh, my God.
Go to Erica's and get yourself some garlic pop wings, okay?
Honey garlic, yes. And it's a great, great, great soul food.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Well, Dawn, I thank you so much for joining us today on Amplified. This was a fun treat. Kind of turning the tables on you and interviewing you, which has been a
little. I know. I'm like, oh. But thank you so much. So funny.
We're glad to have you. Thank you all for listening. And as usual, unleash the Lioness within and rock your day.